In this episode, we'll be reviewing four trailers: Wreck-It Ralph 2, Ralph Breaks the Internet, Lego Movie 2, the second part, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, and How to Train Your Dragon, The Hidden World. Plus, Uber Nerd will be reviewing Voltron, Legendary Defender, Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee, our reactions to it, Blaze Blue Crosstag Battle, talking a quick review, Mega Man Legacy Collection. We're also going to be having a review of Solo, A Star Wars Story. We're going to be talking about Power Rangers, Cobra Kai, and our reaction to Thundercats Roar. So strap in and get ready to go beyond the start button. It's Joshua the Uber Nerd here with another episode of the Beyond the Start Button podcast, the podcast where we talk about what we are passionate about each and every month. It's a monthly podcast, although we will admit we're very sorry that we kind of skipped May. May was kind of a busy month for all of us, so I apologize for that. But we are bringing this out today, and this podcast is actually going to be our season finale. So we're going to take about a 2 or 3 month hiatus. We'll come back after probably back in maybe September, and with some brand new episodes. So stay tuned for that. But we may have some ideas coming on the pike about that as well. So, but this podcast would not be complete without the Keith to my Shiro.
That's right.
Shiro, that would
yep,
be
yep, big time.
Danny,
yep,
the ultrasonic player. Yay!
Woo! Yeah, it's going to be back. And hey, you know, look, I mean, I'll admit, you know, I do have a little bit of Keith's hairstyle.
Yes.
Slightly. So all I need now is my jacket and a black t-shirt.
There you go.
And I'm good.
And you have to be moody all the time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I actually could do that. I could just basically be all like unapproachable, so I can make my face look like that. So
there you go.
But yeah, definitely. Hey, why not, right?
Well, anyways, we're really excited to give you this brand new episode. We have a lot to talk about in this episode. So we just usually talk about what we're passionate about from the month. So if you're here listening to us for the first time, well, welcome. And I hope you guys enjoy it. So what we're going to talk about, we're going to cover just a few topics. First, we have four trailers that just released recently. This is being recorded June the 9th. And a few days ago, we had a whole bunch of trailers, one after the other, come right on out. We're going to talk about them real quick. After that, we're going to do a follow-up to a podcast that we did a few months back. We did a podcast about Ruby versus Voltron, and we talked about because I'm a big fan of Ruby, and Danny is a big fan of Voltron, and so we kind of swapped our fandoms and kind of just started the show just to get our initial reactions. Well, just recently I did finish all 5 seasons of Voltron. And so we're going to talk a little about that a little bit later. We also are going to talk about...
Way to go!
Yeah, thank you. We're also going to be talking about Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee, Blaze Blue Crosstag Battle. We're going to have a very small Solo review by me, Solo, because I'm the only one who saw it. Then we also talk about the Mega Man Collection, Hasbro buying Power Rangers, and also, because of we're sticking with the Power Rangers, we're going to talk about the Soul of the Dragon graphic are the next kind of story arc in the comic book. So let's get started with the four trailers. So, Danny, we had four trailers,
yes,
and they all kind of released all at the same time. We had the Lego Movie 2, the second part,
yes,
I think is probably one of the best titles for a movie. Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, Wreck-It Ralph 2, which is Ralph Breaks the Internet, and then How to Train Your Dragon, The Hidden World. So let's start off with the Lego Movie 2, the second part. So what did you think about that?
Right. Well, I got to say, I'm really impressed, you know, because I kind of figured with the first Lego movie, I thought, oh, wow, this is pretty awesome. But then I thought, after I finished watching it, I thought, well, you know, it's good as a self-contained film. It's good as a standalone film, and it doesn't need anything to follow it up with. But I have to say, after watching this trailer that just came out, it's okay. I'm sold. Maybe there might be something left, or story-wise to tell.
Right.
So I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, I am too.
I'll admit. I mean, I wasn't sure what to make of it when I first heard that there was going to be a sequel to the Lego film. I have to admit, I'm pretty sold.
Yeah, I really love all the Lego movies they've had come out so far. Like, I don't think there's a bad one in the bunch. I know that Ninjago didn't do as well as the other two did, but I did love Ninjago. It was a really good movie. Very funny.
Oh, okay, that's good.
Yeah, it was a very good movie. Very funny, very, very, like, he even had more jokes than Lego Batman did, and I thought that was pretty cool. And then, of course, you had Jackie Chan in it and whatnot, so it was pretty cool. I love Lego Batman. It's probably my favorite of the three. And then, of course, the first Lego movie was, I don't have a better word for it, awesome. And then who doesn't know the Everything Is Awesome song? That little earworm gets in your head. You're welcome, by the way, audience. I'm excited for Lego Movie 2. I can't wait to see what they do. It looks like the jokes are just as funny as they were in the original. I love that they're taking a Mad Max approach to the way the world is right now. I think that's kind of a funny, kind of funny thing. And but we have all the characters, we have all the voice actors reprising their roles, including Chris Pratt playing Emmett. So I'm really excited to see what happens with Lego Movie 2. I love the title, the Lego Movie 2, the second part.
That's too cool, man.
Yeah, so I'm excited about that. All right, the next one is one that I've actually been excited about for a while now. And to be honest, I thought you'd be a little bit more excited about it. But I wanted your take on it now that you've seen the new trailer. So Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. Let me know, what did you think, Danny? What did you think as a Spider-Man fan?
Well, I have to admit, it does seem pretty interesting. I'm not sure if they're going to completely do a carbon copy of what was done some time back, because I know that Marvel Comics had done an event of the same name.
Right.
With Spider-Verse, which contained pretty much almost every incarnation of Spider-Man, and of course, including his legacy character, aka his daughter, Mayday, and of course, other characters like Spider-Gwen and Miles Morales.
And Spider-Pig.
Spider-Pig. Even the... they even brought in Spider-Man from the 60s show.
Wow.
And even, including, and I think even at one point, even our Sentai Spider-Man, or Supaidaman, at one point, complete with his giant Zord, or mech, Leopardon. I'm not kidding about that. It's actually because of that show that Power Rangers, that Japan then created Super Sentai. So basically, which in turn led Saban to create Power Rangers. So basically, Spider-Man is the reason we have Power Rangers.
Nice.
For lack of a better word.
Well, can I have an aside real quick? There's an anime called Full Metal Panic, and they actually make a reference to Spider-Man in it.
Wow.
They call him like Super Spider Detective or something like that, and it's like very much a joke. It's a one-off joke that they have, but you can tell it's basically Spider-Man that they're doing. But I just thought I'd put that aside. But I think it's pretty cool that they're introducing Miles Morales for the first time. I kind of like, I don't know much about Miles' character. But from what I saw from the trailer, I kind of enjoy it. I like that he has similar powers as Spider-Man, but also different.
Yeah, he's... From when he was introduced, and again, I didn't read the comics all that much, but from what I did read, he basically has, super spider strength, spider agility. But with that, he also has two other skills. One, he can camouflage himself,
right?
To where he can kind of turn invisible,
right?
And another one is like what they call a spider sting, where if he touches you, and you get his opponent gets stung, if you will.
Oh, so it's like a taser effect.
They almost get, like, paralyzed. Okay. For a few seconds. And that's basically it.
So, yeah, and then, you know, to see in the trailer, you kind of realize that Peter Parker kind of becomes the mentor figure to Miles, which I think is kind of cool because, you know, in the MCU, Spider-Man is being mentored by...
The mentee.
Yeah, he's being mentored by Tony Stark. And this movie, he's the mentor, and I think that's kind of cool kind of thing. But not only that, but we all got the shock of our lives during this trailer because not only is Miles Morales going to be joining this little party, but also Miss Spider-Gwen herself is going to be joining the party.
Yeah, that was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's what I'm looking forward to. I mean, again, I'm still kind of on the fence because, again, I'm not the biggest fan of Miles Morales because, I don't know. I mean, don't get me wrong. He is an interesting character, but for me, my legacy characters from the Spider-Verse, again, and this is just my personal opinion.
Right.
But for me, it's always been Peter and Mary Jane's daughter, Mayday, a.k.a. Right. Spider-Girl, and, of course, Spider-Man 2099, also known as Miguel O'Hara.
Right.
So that's my wheelhouse. Now, again, I'm glad the character has definitely touched a nerve when he came on the scene.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, granted, he's not a character that I personally care all that much for. I mean, I did try to read the books with Miles because – now, first off, just for a little context, do you know exactly how Miles got introduced?
He got introduced in Ultimate Spider-Man. They changed from Peter Parker. They killed off Peter Parker in Ultimate Spider-Man, and then they introduced Miles Morales. And now Miles Morales is in the classic Marvel universe now because the Ultimate Universe is quote unquote destroyed. But Miles is now in the regular universe, and we have a whole bunch of spider people now. We have Spider-Man, we have Miles Morales' Spider-Man, we have Spider-Gwen, and a couple other spider characters. And then, of course, they got Renew Your Vows, that whole thing? You were talking because that's ongoing, isn't it? That's still going, right?
Yep, it is not. Yeah, and it's going, yeah.
Okay.
They've changed writers, but it is the same thing, and it's basically, it's like Spider-Man meets the Incredibles, because you have Spidey, Mary Jane, who has her own costume and abilities, and of course their daughter, Annie, as in like A-N-N-I-E. it's that one's pretty cool. I actually just got finished reading another issue from them. And it's basically one with Peter, Mary Jane on a cruise, while Annie is basically staying at the X-Men's mansion,
uh-huh.
And she's hanging out with them. And it turns out in this universe,
uh-huh.
Jean Grey and Logan actually hooked up,
really,
officially,
really,
really. And they have a kid, of their own. Uh-huh. Some people are kind of like some people are on the fence about it, but personally, I don't have a problem with it, mainly because. When you consider everything that Logan has gone through in the comics, and it can be in any interpretation, the guy's been through things. He's been through a lot of stuff.
Right.
Okay, he really has. And I like the idea that at least in one continuity, he's at least able to have some degree of genuine happiness.
Right.
You know, with Jean Grey, and not only that, but considering the fact that all of his other quote unquote kids have either been cloned from him, or they were taken from their mom, or literally ripped out of their mom's womb. You know, particularly his son, Dakin, it's spelled D-A-K-E-N, you know, and of course, X-23, his clone. You know, I like the idea that he actually, for once, is able to have a kid with somebody that he does genuinely love and you know, the bad guys didn't try to take her from him or do all kinds of, you know, crazy stuff that, like, what happened to some of his other, you know, kids. So I like that. I like that a lot.
Awesome. But yeah, I really enjoy this. I think Spider-Verse looks really cool. I love the animation. It's very unique. And this is coming from a lot of, you know, animated cartoons. It's very unique from anything I've seen. I love the jokes. They were very funny. His dad, making him say, I love you. I thought that was pretty funny.
That's just too cool. Because I saw that scene, and I'm like, oh, man.
Yeah, the whole...
Great stuff.
The whole joke about, what was it, how many spider people are there? And he goes, wait till we get to Comic-Con. And he's, well, what's Comic-Con?
Oh, gosh.
So, I thought that was pretty funny. I think it's going to be a pretty cool movie. I'm excited about it. I'm more excited now that I've seen the second trailer. I was excited seeing the first one. But this has gotten me even more excited, and I really can't wait to dive into her, to Miles' character a little bit more and see who he is.
Yeah.
And I kind of like it when they introduce characters who I don't know, because I don't come in with a preconceived notion. It was the same thing with Guardians of the Galaxy. I didn't really know who Guardians of the Galaxy were. I had no idea who they were. Mm. And I kind of enjoyed that because I didn't have any kind of expectations about the characters. I just kind of went in going, okay, let's see what these guys are, you know. And that's the same thing I'm going in with Into the Spider-Verse. I don't know anything about Miles Morales. I haven't read any of the comics with him in it. I know who he is, but that's about all I know. So I'm really kind of excited to see how this goes. So yeah, it's definitely
right.
Definitely one I'm going to be watching. Maybe we'll do a podcast about it when it comes out.
Yeah.
So all right, let's move on
let's
move on to our next trailer. So the next trailer is Wreck-It Ralph 2, Ralph Breaks the Internet.
Yep.
So there's been some mixed reviews about this trailer. Some people are really excited. Some people are not excited. To me, I'm kind of on the fence right now. I really love Wreck-It Ralph. It is one of my favorite Disney movies. And... Because of, not only just because of the story and the characters, but also because it's very personal to me, because that movie was pretty much, and I've said this before on the podcast, I'll say it again, it was a love letter to video games. It was really just a true, it was kind of what Toy Story was for toys, Wreck-It Ralph was for video games. It was just this love letter to video games, and I really did enjoy it. But this movie is not a love letter to video games. This is a kind of a love letter to our modern culture and how the internet is kind of, you know, all over the place. And but not only that, it kind of seems like they even poke fun at themselves. Disney kind of pokes fun at their own kind of culture that's kind of grown out of, you know, the kind of Disney culture that's kind of grown out of it. Where are you on this spectrum? Are you excited? Are you not excited? Are you on the fence? What are you, Danny?
Well, for me, I'm actually kind of more intrigued than anything else.
Okay.
Let's face it. The first film when that came out, I mean, I was just like, wow, this is actually a video game movie that isn't going to be awful.
Right.
You know, and like you said, it was a terrific love letter to the golden age of arcades and just old school video games in general. Now for this one, like I said, I'm intrigued by it because I do like the idea of kind of taking the story forward in this way. Because after all, if Ralph, Vanellope, if their first adventure was, you know, basically, you know, learning to accept themselves and also kind of, you know, traveling around, you know, or at least in their point of view, how their world is in comparison to how we see it. But now it's like, okay, now you have the internet, and so where exactly would Ralph and Vanellope figure into that kind of context? Like, how would they figure into, like, okay, here you have the internet, which is, you know, all sorts of crazy things. and so it would be pretty. It's going to be interesting to see how they do it.
Okay.
And having seen the trailer, I do like the fact that, yeah, like you said, they do poke fun at each other, particularly in regards to when Vanellope meets the princesses. that was pretty funny.
Yeah, I agree.
So
I agree,
but I'm not sure exactly how they're going to do it, put another way. I don't know how you can really craft a good, fun, epic story based on that. I mean, you kind of could, but, you know, don't you need, like, an antagonist for this sort of thing?
I think so, but we don't really know the full story just yet. So
true.
I also think that the emoji movie has kind of left a bad taste in people's mouths about having a movie that has to revolve around, you know, our daily life on the internet. So I think that's also because Wreck-It Ralph has come so close to that movie. I think a lot of people are still kind of, you know, angry about that. So I think that's another reason why. But also because here was a love letter to video games. And now it's like, let's take video games completely out of it and do something completely different. And it's just like, why? You know, it was such a great, you know, it was such a great love letter to video games. And now we're not, are we going to get any more video game stuff? You know, who knows? I mean, but we'll see when the movie comes out. I'm still going to see it because I love the characters. I love Ralph. I love Vanellope. Yeah. I love Fix-It Felix. They're all going to be in the movie. I can't wait to see the princess scene. I think that's hilarious. You know, we saw stormtroopers. We saw, you know, they're going to have, cameos with Marvel and even some Muppet stuff and, you know, stuff like that. So we'll see. We'll see. All right. So let's move on to our last trailer. So How to Train Your Dragon has been one of DreamWorks' best movies. Do you agree with me?
Yes. I mean, with this one, I really feel that they're stepping up their game.
Oh,
yeah. Which is saying a lot, considering how good How to Train Your Dragon 2 was.
Oh, yeah. How to Train Your Dragon 2 was phenomenal. Like, it was definitely, out of the two, like, I have never seen a movie, a sequel, like, not only just capture the fun of the first one, but up the game, and also make you cry.
Yeah, that is true.
By the end of it. When they announced How to Train Your Dragon 3, which is How to Train Your Dragon The Hidden World, I'm kind of excited to see where they go with this. I haven't been following the animated series or any of that stuff. I've just been watching the movies. So I can't wait to see what they do with the characters. I think it's pretty funny that we have a female, Light Fury. I think that's pretty cool.
That one looks pretty interesting.
I love what do you call it? Mating dance that he does.
Yes. That dude was like, oh man. It reminded me a lot of when Ash's Butterfree.
Oh yeah.
You know, try to do the courtship dance, and of course, granted, nothing was happening. So that was pretty fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this movie too, and if it ups the stakes, then I'm good with that. You know, is this going to be the? It seems like it's going to be the conclusion of this franchise. At least in movie form. So I think that's pretty cool. You know, I love dragons. So, you know, anything with dragons in it, I'm on, you know, for the most part, I'm pretty much, I'm behind.
Yeah. So, yeah, I hear you.
I was one of the very few people who liked Dragonheart. Mainly because it had a dragon in it. That's pretty much my whole. I also liked Aragorn.
Yep.
I thought that was Aragorn was pretty good too.
There were a lot of good concepts in that film,
right?
You know, it
just didn't hit as well. So sadly,
no. Yeah,
but anyways, I think it's going to be a great, great film. Anything else you want to add about dragons?
Nope. Just looking forward to seeing what they how they pull this story off.
Cool.
And if this is going to be the conclusion to the whole thing.
Right. All right. So let's move on to another DreamWorks property. That would be Voltron the Legendary Defender. As I said earlier in the podcast, we did a podcast a few months back where we kind of swapped our fandoms for a day and kind of just like reviewed each other's shows. So, Danny watched Ruby, and I watched Voltron. I watched the first three episodes. He watched the first half, Volume 1. which I'm hoping he catches up because we're on volume 5 now. So, so we swatched it. We kind of gave our first impressions, and I said that whenever we get an update, I figured we'd update it. So, I have just recently watched all 5 seasons of Voltron. I'm glad to talk about it because I really think it's a really good show. I can say that the animation is phenomenal. The fight choreography is top notch. The characters are really good. There's not a character I don't like. Even the ancillary characters are really kind of neat. The villains are definitely, villainous, but also multi-layered. They did a lot of things I didn't expect. And I like it. I won't give away any spoilers for those of you who are on the fence about watching the show. If you like mech animes like Gundam, stuff like that, or even Power Rangers, I highly suggest Voltron. It's really good. The characters are really, really interesting, and it's just an all-around really good show. So, all right, you have some questions for me, Danny?
Yes. What do you think from having seen all 5 seasons?
Okay.
What are your thoughts on like how our main 5 characters, or no, excuse me, how our main 6 characters have evolved over the course of all these seasons? And by the 6, I mean Shiro, Keith, Lance, Pidge, Hunk, and Allura.
I really like how they evolve every season. I really like how they have like character arcs, and it's actually a very difficult thing to do with a show, an ensemble cast, to have everyone shine. And I really like that. And I also like that they evolved it, especially around, and again, I'm trying not to give away spoilers, but around, I believe season 3, they did kind of a change up a little bit. I think that was kind of interesting. Because it keeps it fresh, it keeps it going, and it gives the characters something new to do, and I really like it, and every character has their moment to shine, every character has their, their ups, their downs, every character gets to grow, and it's not just for one episode, like, they get to grow. I think one of my favorite character, because I know you're going to ask it anyways, Shiro.
Yeah.
Definitely. I love Shiro. Yeah. I think he is an awesome character. Although I will have to say I forgot the word right now, but I really like Shiro mainly because of his voice actor. I really loved Green Lantern, the animated series. And, he did such a great job as Hal Jordan, but he does an even better job as Shiro. Though the characters are very similar, but I really love how he plays him and the emotions of his character, and everything is done very, very well. And yes, I do enjoy it. All right, what's your next question?
All right, so I think we talked about this before, and I know you mentioned it, but in regards to the art direction, because I know you're an artist.
Yes.
What do you think of how they're able to like craft? What do you think of the world building they've been able to do just by the art pieces they've been able to do?
I really think it's really neat. The art not only just reminds me of Avatar, because obviously a lot of people same people worked on it, but it also reminds me of an anime that I really love called Oban Star Racers. It's a very obscure anime. I really do enjoy it. But a lot of the alien species and stuff like that kind of remind me. They're very round. They're very organic. And it has a very unique look to it. And I really do dig that a lot. So the art direction is phenomenal. Like I said, I think the best part is the fight choreography. The fight choreography in that show is just phenomenal. When they do a fight scene, they really do it upright. Especially the sword fighting, hand-to-hand combat, is done very well. The CG is still a little weird, especially when it mixes with the hand-drawn stuff. But it's very, it's as the seasons progress, it's getting less and less noticeable. So that's good. It's very difficult, in my opinion, to mix CG and hand-drawn, because CG is so clean. And, you know, hand-drawn is it has a very specific look. So it's very difficult to kind of mix the two. But and when I watched those first three episodes, I wasn't really excited about the CG because it still was a little wonky. But as the season has progressed, they've done a very good job of mixing the two. And I do like that. I do like that you can see the battle damage on the Voltron character, on all the lions. You know, you can see the scoring, the carbon scoring, the blaster bolts, anything it's been hit. You know, it's not just a clean cut robot. You know, and it also feels like a ship. It kind of these the lions and also the castle itself feels kind of like its own ship. It's like the Millennium Falcon, if you will. I really do enjoy it. All right, what's your next question?
Okay, what were the emotional moments that stood out to you during these seasons? If it's even possible to even narrow it down, because I know there's so many.
Right. Even though I really like Shiro, I really think the most emotional storyline is Pidge. I really, really love that storyline for Pidge. I really like, and sorry for giving away a spoiler, but I really like her character. You know, and I really believe, I was thinking about this the other day, it must have been very, very difficult to design her character look, because you had to kind of... You had to do several things. First of all, you had to kind of pay homage to the original character. Second of all, you had to make her look kind of ambiguous in her gender, because you wanted it to read like, you know, at the beginning when the first couple episodes. Like, I was surprised they kept the I was thinking they were going to keep the secret a little longer. But I think it's like episode 2 or 3 when they you know, she says, "I'm a girl." I kind of already knew that. That kind of was already spoiled for me. It was kind of interesting to see, like, her character. And I said before, her design had to be really difficult because, you know, you had to also make her read as a guy at first, and then when you said she's a girl, you can see her as a girl. I think they did a great job of designing her. I really do like her character arc throughout the series. They do a great job with her. I love that character as well. Like I said, I think that's probably the most emotional, in my opinion, that's the most emotional story so far. I think that Princess Alora does have her moments. I think in the later seasons, it's more, but in the first couple of seasons, she's just kind of there, and the only really emotion you get out of her is mainly at the beginning. And then after that, they kind of just go with the other characters for a while and then come back to her later on. I love the villains. They did a great job with the villains. And when you find out things about specific villains, you're kind of like, what? I remember finding out one little moment. And again, I'm not going to spoil it. I remember finding out one moment about a specific character, and she, I just thought she was just going to be this ancillary, you know, yes, sire kind of character, and then she turned out to be much, much more. And she's voiced by Cree Summer, which is awesome. I like Cree Summer.
Yep.
She's a great voice actress, and she's been a voice actress in many different shows that I have watched over the years. I think she does a really good job as a villain, as a villainess. I think she really nails that a lot. So any other questions you got for me?
Nope, I'm good.
Okay, cool. All right, so that's my review of Voltron Legendary Defender. You can see that on Netflix. It's an exclusive Netflix show. I'm hoping it comes out on DVD. I really want it. I really want to see more. Like, I really want to get in depth with this show a little bit more. So, all right. So let's move on to video games. So just recently, Nintendo just announced two games that are coming out for the Switch: Pokemon games, Pokemon Yay! Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee. So this was a surprise because we didn't know this was coming.
Yeah.
At first, everyone thought it was going to be the next generation of Pokemon, but Nintendo has, the Pokemon company has specifically said that this is not Generation 8 at all. I feel that this is more of an experiment to see what they could do. And I also like that it's kind of a mix between Pokemon Go and the traditional Pokemon games. Now, according to what Nintendo said, this game is going to be very highly based off of the Pokemon Yellow version. And it's going to take place in Kanto. You're going to be able to, depending on the version you get, depends on which Pokemon you get. So if you get Let's Go Pikachu, obviously you get Pikachu, and then Eevee. I think I'm going to get Eevee, just because I would love to get an Espeon if he's able to evolve into Espeon. What about you, Danny?
Well, I think I'm actually pretty curious about this. I did see the trailer for it. Still kind of on the fence.
Okay.
But if I do get it, it'll probably be the Pikachu one because again, I'm just partial towards that character.
Okay.
So.
What do you think about the fact that it's going to be able to connect with Pokemon Go? You'll be able to actually bring your Pokemon from Pokemon Go to this game.
Well, for one thing, I think it's going to be a whole other. It's definitely going to give a reason for people to download the app,
right?
And not to mention the fact that it's going to be if for folks who already have like a large collection of Pokemon, well, it's not even really much question. They're just going to be having all sorts of fun with it.
Okay, what do you think about the co-op thing? I think that's pretty cool.
I like it. That's actually pretty good.
Yeah, and then two people can catch the same Pokemon at the same time. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that actually is pretty good.
So, and they said that the catching mechanic is pretty much going to be the same as Pokemon Go. So that's pretty interesting. I also like the little Pokemon, the Pokeball, the Pokeball controller plus. I'm definitely going to be purchasing that for several different reasons. First of all, in the game you can use it as a controller. You can actually control the game using it, because I'm sure there's not many buttons that you have to press for Pokemon. You can also throw it. You can do a throwing motion, so it feels like you're actually throwing a Pokeball at a Pokemon. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then also you'll be able to put your Pokemon in the Pokeball, and then you can bring it around with you, Pokemon, what was that? The Pokewalker style, and you can actually pet your Pokeball, and your Pokemon will make noises that come out of the Pokeball. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, again, I'm glad that it's definitely gotten a lot of attention. I mean, like I said, I'm usually used to playing, you know, Pokemon the old-fashioned way, but still, hey, you know, the fact that it's got these new features, I think I'll definitely be taking another look at that game and definitely getting it.
Well, it looks like they said that the battle mechanic is going to be the same as the traditional Pokemon games. So you'll be able to, you know, battle the same way. So that's pretty cool. So I think it's going to be interesting. I think they're trying to experiment and see what they can do as a console Pokemon game. So we'll see what E3 has in store for Pokemon. But I'm excited about this game. I definitely will pick it up when it comes out later on this year. So.
Right.
All right. Let's move on to another video game. So this one It is a video game I just recently purchased. In fact, I just purchased this a couple days ago. And to be honest, except for Smash Brothers, I'm not a very big fighting game fan, mainly because I get kind of tired of fighting games very easily. They kind of, like, yeah. I can play them for a little bit, but then they kind of bore me, and I kind of move on. And I'm not, like, this hardcore, yeah. I have to figure out how to do all the combos. I'm a button masher. yeah. Sometimes I'll learn the combos if they're easy, but, you know, except for Smash Brothers, because Smash Brothers is has such easy combos, it's very easy to learn.
Right.
But with, like, fighting games like this game, it's just so difficult knowing, remembering every single combo. But there was a reason I bought this game, and that was because, in this game, Blaze Blue Cross Tag Battle, you can actually play as our, as the Ruby characters. So, right now,
wow, that's cool.
Yeah, as the recording of this podcast, Ruby, Weiss, and Blake are all available. Yang will be available later as a free downloadable character. But they also have characters from other properties as well. Persona 4, they have a whole bunch of characters from that. The traditional Blue characters. Some other fighting game that I've never heard of are also in the game. So there's a wide variety of characters in the game. And to be honest, it plays kind of like Marvel vs. Capcom. So it, you know, you got the hand-drawn sprites, you have the 3D backgrounds, and it's pretty cool. I was very excited when I heard that Ruby was going to be in the game. In fact, the only reason I bought the game was to play as Ruby characters. At first, it was just going to be Ruby and Weiss, but they added Yang and Blake later on. They were going to make Yang and Blake, like, you had to pay to get the characters in the game, but there was a huge outcry, and so they made them free.
wow.
So I'm very excited. I was very excited to get the game, and I did play it. It has a story mode, which is kind of neat. A lot of my favorite voice actors and actresses are in the game, including all the original voice actresses from Ruby. The story mode is pretty cool. The only thing is that there's no cutscenes or anything. It's just the traditional static, you know, single picture that maybe changes emotions every once and again. But, you know, you get to hear the voice actors do their thing, and there's some really good voice actors in here. Johnny Young Bosch reprises his role from Persona 4. You know, you get to hear them talk to the Ruby characters, and, you know, so it's a really cool and interesting thing. I also got to play online for a bit, so that was fun. And, it's just a really fun game, and, I'm very proud to see these Ruby characters in this game, because I never thought that this would be even an option way back when I started watching the show. I never thought I'd see the Ruby characters in any kind of video game, and then, Grim Eclipse came out, and that was cool, and then now seeing them in this game, it's not just they're in the game, they're a huge part of the game. They're a huge part of the story, and it's pretty cool. If you're a big fighting game fan, this is going to rock your world. If you're not,
all right,
you know, I just got it just to support the Ruby characters. I got it for my Switch, so it is on the Switch.
And it's called Switch. What's it called?
It's called Blaze Blue Cross Tag Battle. So,
all right,
yeah. So it's really cool. It's on the Switch. Check it out. And now I can play it on the go. So if I ever get tired and just want to, you know, beat something up, I can pull out my Switch now and I can do that. At least it'll tide me over till Smash comes out.
Exactly.
All right. Next, we have a movie review. I'm just going to do it really quick without any spoilers. I know usually we have a whole podcast around movie reviews, I'm the only one who's seen it so far between the two of us. So I'm just going to do a solo review. for Solo, a Star Wars Story. And don't worry, I'm not going to spoil anything. I really enjoyed it. It is a high-octane ride from beginning to end. If you like Westerns, this is definitely that. It is definitely a Western done right in space.
In space!
Young Han Solo, I liked Han Solo before, but I love the character now, that you get to see where he came from, how he kind of gets to where he is. They don't show everything, because I think they're setting up for some more stuff. But you get to see where he is. The actor who played Han did a great job. You get to see Chewie more in action, so that's cool.
All right.
You really get to see Chewie go, and that's really cool. There is a big moment at the end that I did not see coming, but I won't spoil it here. And I literally dropped my jaw when it happened, and which is another reason why I'm thinking they're going to continue this. They may be doing more than one Solo movie, so we'll see how it does. Unfortunately, though, the movie didn't do so well in the box office.
It hasn't been.
I don't know what's going to happen. I'm hoping that they continue, even though it didn't do so well. I think mainly because it came out so much. There was no breathing room between Last Jedi and Solo.
They should have waited a few months more,
right,
in my opinion.
We got used to the whole December release thing. And I know that they kind of wanted to release this in May because it's the 40th anniversary of the original Star Wars.
That's right.
So I think that was the reason. The problem was it was sandwiched between so many good movies. You got Avengers, Deadpool 2,
a
whole bunch of movies. I think that it was just the timing and the fact that it just didn't seem like they marketed this as much as Last Jedi was. And I also think that a lot of people are kind of getting tired of Star Wars now. Because they've been coming out every year, I think people are getting burnt out about it. And I was afraid of this. but it is a good movie. It is a really, really good movie. I very much enjoyed it. They did a great, great job. Regardless of the problems that it had previous, to the director shakeup and all this other stuff, it is a good movie, so I highly suggest it. Please go see it, because Solo is really, really good. All right, now, Danny, these last couple topics are all yours, so I'm going to let you have it. So let's start off with the Mega Man collection.
Oh, my gosh, where do I begin? As most people already know by now, Capcom has released another compilation of their basically their mascot, Mega Man himself. But this time they released not just one part of the classic games collection, but rather the entire thing. Or in other words, so basically, you now can basically purchase the hard copy of the Mega Man Legacy Collection, aka Mega Man 1 through 6. And then with that, it also contains a code that allows you to download the digital copy of the latter, basically Mega Man, I believe Mega Man 7 through 10. And what's great about it is that it's not just a bare bones compilation. No, this one's pretty much got all the classic games as well as concept art, official concept art, as well as actual images of the different packagings and marketing things that Capcom had done for all of their games. Including the famous or infamous box art of the original Mega Man 1 game when it came out here for the US of A. To say the least. And there's an actual, there's an interesting story behind the first box art, for the American release of Mega Man 1. And it was that, basically the story goes, now again, I could be wrong about this, but this is what I had heard, mainly from watching a G4 episode. That's right, back when G4, did video games and so forth.
Oh, G4.
yeah, I know. But basically the episode talks about how when Capcom USA was preparing to bring Mega Man over here stateside, basically the president of Capcom USA said to his marketing guy, hey, we need a cover done tomorrow. So basically the marketing guy went out and got a friend of his to do it in like 6 hours. Or so the story goes. So that's why the box art here in the US was not exactly, you know, it's not exactly what you think of when you think of Mega Man.
Right.
You know, I mean, but again, you know, nobody knew that it was going to become what it became.
And
of course, by the time we get to Mega Man, no, go ahead.
And back in those days, too, I mean, a lot of people did like that cover. So, including the founder of our website, Mr. Raygun, really did enjoy it, too. In fact, let's cut to, we did another one. Let's cut to Ray talking a little bit about it, because I know that he would definitely like to join in on this conversation.
I'm gonna interject just a second.
Uh-oh, okay,
I
here we go.
I bought that brand new.
Okay.
That box art sold me.
Really? What, it did? Oh my gosh.
I bought my NES, it was one of the first ones that came out in New York when they first released, before the mass release of 86. So one of the first games I bought was that. And
wow.
That box art with that paunchy little guy with his pistol sold me. I'm like, this looks really cool. You got to remember, though, different time, different era.
Right.
You know, we take it out of context now, but imagine being that late teens, early 20s guy in 1985, looking for games to buy for his brand new NES, and that pops up, and you're just like, because that cover is the first thing you saw.
Yep.
And then, you know, because most of the time those cartridges were kept behind the counter, so then you had to ask for it, and then you'd flip it over and actually see what the game looked like. So that cover art sold millions of copies, and we make fun of it now, but it actually worked.
Mm-hmm. It did.
You know. Because if it didn't, think about this one. If it didn't, we wouldn't be talking about Mega Man right now.
That's
right.
Big time.
Because that's the first game.
Yep.
So obviously, the 6 hour job worked.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it did.
So,
but
you know, I mean, that's really how what it comes down to is, it did not look like Mega Man.
Oh no, no.
I'm not sure what it looked like.
Yeah.
Didn't they put him in as a like a DLC that specific Mega Man in like Tekken or something like that as like a DLC character?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I'll have to look that up.
Yeah, Arcaders, if you know, please let us know.
Please, yes, let us know. We'll let you know how to contact us at the end. But what do you think, Ray, about them putting all that stuff in the Mega Man collection though?
See, I like that.
Yeah.
Well, you know me. I mean, you've seen my game room when I had it put together. I love nostalgia. So anything I can get from my past is massive.
Yeah.
So for me, having that box art, and if I'm able to hang it up or frame it or whatever, I'm all over it. You know, so to me, that's huge.
So yeah, so I mean, again, it's an interesting story, but my gosh, you know, just the number of things you can find on this compilation alone, it's definitely a must have, especially if you were a Mega Man fan back during the NES days, and even if you weren't, you know, if you were curious about where did Mega Man come from and just what he's all about, well, this is the best way to do it. And you really get a chance to see as you play through all of the games, how he progresses as a character, how the gameplay progresses, and how the bosses improve and the level design, and which is very simplistic, but you know, again, back then it really was unlike anything that had been done before. I mean, it obviously followed the Mario formula in regards to platforming, but it made it its own with shooting, you know, enemy robots and so forth. And the whole paper, rock, scissors format, I mean, again, which still persists even to this day, it's just a great thing. I mean, granted, in keeping with most NES games of the day, more often than not, your character died a lot because, you know, if even so much as falling into the spikes, you're pretty much done and you gotta start over. And nowhere was this difficulty made more clear than in Mega Man 2. Oh my gosh, the level of difficulty on that one, and even to this day, I still have trouble trying to make it through those levels. I mean, granted, I still power on through, but again, you know, expect to, as they say, level grind a lot. Because, and by that, I mean, you know, just, your characters, you're probably going to die a lot in those levels before you actually get good at them. But once you do, it's like, yes, now I am the wizard.
Okay. Awesome. All right. So let's talk about, now it's time for a segment that I'm making up for this specific episode. It's time for Power Rangers Corner with Danny the Ultrasonic Player.
Yep.
So you have two Power Ranger subjects for us today. Let's start off with Hasbro buying Power Rangers.
Yes. So basically, not too long ago, it's actually been a while by the time you hear this episode, but basically Hasbro had managed to close a deal with Saban Brands to purchase Power Rangers directly from. And so, as of right, and initially, it's funny how it all started, because the way it originally started with them just kind of like having like some kind of deal with, it originally started with Hasbro just wanting to have the toy rights to where they would be the ones, you know, to make the toys and so forth. But then, sometime, not too long after that, it was then made official that Hasbro bought the whole thing, you know, lock, stock, and Power Morpher from Saban. So basically, as of now, Hasbro does own Power Rangers, you know, everything down to the last Power Coin. The thing is, though, it's interesting how the transition has been done, because right now, Saban Brands still controls Power Rangers, so it's not going to be until next year that the change is going to take official effect. So granted, I mean, yes, from a legal standpoint and from a business standpoint, yes, Hasbro will pretty much own Power Rangers, but in regards to the current TV show, and especially the comic books, Saban still has full control. Now, so what does this mean for the brand? Well, personally, I'm hoping that this is a step in the right direction, because unfortunately, while the comics have been doing great, and we had a really great movie last year, even though despite its underperformance, you know, the show itself has really been going down in regards to quality, which I know isn't saying much considering, you know, what the show actually is. But the fact of the matter is that we thought that when Saban bought Power Rangers back from Disney, we thought that things were going to get a little bit better. I mean, granted, because the Disney seasons, for the most part, not all of them were excellent. I mean, there were definitely some notable seasons, particularly Dino Thunder being one of them. Because after all, we brought Tommy back, but only this time him as a teacher and the mentor. And on top of that, we even had, just before Saban bought Power Rangers back from Disney, we had pretty much the most critically praised season of all in RPM, which I've been actually been watching through myself as of this recording. And I got to tell you, this season is everything that fans have been saying. It is everything that fans have wanted from PR for the longest time. And it is still, I still highly recommend that season alone, simply because of the fact that you have an ongoing narrative that's very organic. There's nothing cheesy about it. And on top of that, you have legit character developments that stick all the way through from start to finish. And, you know, as a fan, and just as a guy who likes to watch good TV shows, you know, you can't ask for anything more than that. The quality is there, you know, and it's definitely, and the ending, from what I understand, I haven't gotten there yet, but the ending is definitely an epic one, and one that really leaves it on a high note. And even then, you're left with a sense that not everything gets fully resolved, but it's still left on a high note nevertheless. So as to what does this mean for Power Rangers under Hasbro's belt, well, I can only hope that the toys that they release, once they start exercising their control, I hope that this means we'll have quality toys and hopefully a better quality show. Now, personally, I feel that I think it's time for Power Rangers to be retooled, not as a live action series, but I think it might be time to turn it into an animated format. Now, granted, this is just my opinion, but I feel that if Voltron Legendary Defender is any indication, it's that you can basically tell a good story with good characters and still have all the action and whatnot, but also balance it out with good human moments between the characters that really could take the show to another level. Because really, because to me, and maybe this is me talking both as a fan from way back when and now as an adult, but I feel that Power Rangers works is no different than Voltron or Transformers in the sense that it is something that can appeal to people of all ages, people from all walks of life, and it can work on multiple levels if the writers actually choose to do that. And currently, we have been getting that in the form of the comics. So, and again, and you still root for these, and it's the original six characters, of course, but it's done, the story, as I've said before in previous episodes, the storytelling is done on a level that we have been wanting to see. It's done on a level that only the best Marvel, DC, you know, Image, Boom Studios comic could deliver. You know, and that's what's the thing what we the fans have been wanting, and we've been getting that in comic book form. And I really feel that it's time to do that in a TV format, and I think maybe transitioning it to an animated format might help. Because for one thing, you can bring the actors back, and they wouldn't have to worry too much about actually, you know, having to be in shape, so to speak, or whatnot. As long as they still have their voices and can still, you know, perform, then you're good. But that's what I really feel. And personally, I'm looking forward to it. I am cautiously optimistic, of course. So hopefully, you know, things do turn out well.
What's the other Power Rangers news that you have for us?
Oh yeah, maybe not so much a big one. Oh, no, strike that. It is a big one, especially considering the character that it revolves around. Or should I say characters? So basically, just recently, it's been announced that there is going to be an official graphic novel coming this December from Boom Studios, and it is called Power Rangers Soul of the Dragon. Now, what this series entails is that it is actually, it talks about the fan favorite himself, Tommy Oliver, and basically just his life after the events of Dino Thunder. And by that, I mean, not just like right after, but years down the road. So basically by this point now, the synopsis goes that he is now settled down into a nice retired life with none other than his Aussie girlfriend, Catherine. That's right. That Christmas episode from Power Rangers Zeo is official canon. Me personally, I always believed that it was, and I'm glad that it's been validated. So basically, in a nutshell, Tommy has settled into a retired life with Catherine, and he's pretty much left Earth to the protection of Space Patrol Delta, a.k.a. SPD, which was the season that took place right after Dino Thunder. Essentially, things are going pretty good, but then his son turns up missing. And so now, basically, Tommy has to once again call on all his training, his friends, as well as even some enemies to try and bring his son back. So essentially this is, you can almost think of it as sort of like the Dark Knight Returns for Tommy Oliver.
Oh, that's cool.
You could, in a lot of respects. And the cool thing too is that it's being done by none other than the current writer himself, Kyle Higgins. And of course, who most people may know from his work on Batman Beyond 2.0. And not only that, but in addition, they even brought in the actor himself, Jason David Frank, on board as a story consultant. So between all of those things, this book is going to be a knockout punch, and I'm really looking forward to being able to pre-order my copy once my comic book shop is able to get it in their system. So, and I'm glad that that finally the whole idea of who does Tommy end up with later on in the road finally gets answered. I mean, granted, it was answered years ago in Power Rangers Zeo with that Christmas episode where it was him and Catherine in their elderly years. So, and again, even those, and I like that because for me, on a personal level, look, I loved Tommy Kim for what it was. I really did. But when I saw that episode, and I'll never forget it, coming back from high school, middle school, and seeing that episode where Tommy gets the Dear John letter, you know, again, as a kid, it shocked me because that was the last thing I would expect to see in a show like Power Rangers. 90210, definitely, but not so much this. And the fact that they actually had the spine to go there really, really shows that, yes, when Power Rangers, I mean, granted, they don't do this all the time, but when they do, it really can surprise me. And so that episode, to me, and this also kind of translates into my own real life, you know, it brought home the message that, you know, as special as high school love can be sometimes, or if you have a crush on a certain girl, that doesn't necessarily mean that that person's the one you met for, you know, and it was something that, you know, that I had to learn, you know, in my own, you know, personal life. And so, and I'm glad that ultimately it transitioned to him ultimately going for Catherine. And what I like about it too is that the show at that time, they didn't get into it right away. Slowly kind of built to it. Like kind of drop a little hint here and there. And then, you know, you get to the episode Hawaii Zeo where he finally, you know, decides to ask her out and it works. And then, of course, you do the Christmas episode, which really just tied it all up. And again, given that we don't really get much of an epilogue with any of these characters, and the fact that Tommy and Catherine had one, and that, once again, it's going to be reinforced in this upcoming graphic novel, you know, to me, it validates everything that I had always believed in for years now. And it definitely, you know, gives it a nice touch, and essentially gives it a nice period to the end of the sentence of Tommy Stern. And I'm hoping that with this graphic novel, because I believe it does take place in the same continuity as the show. So I'm hoping that this means that Tommy does get a nice happy ending, a nice send-off, and doesn't get killed like what happened to him in Shattered Grid, which is in its own continuity. But in all, I'm looking forward to it. I really am.
Awesome. Well, cool.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I hope I didn't put anybody to sleep when I was talking.
No, that's fine. You did fine, my friend. Now, we have two more subjects that we're going to talk about. To be fully honest, we did a podcast. We recorded a podcast a little bit earlier, but we had some problems with it and whatnot. So, but I do want to add this stuff in. We're going to jump into the past a little bit, and we're even going to have Reagan with us for this one. So we have two more subjects. So first we're going to talk about Cobra Kai, a YouTube exclusive series that continues the Karate Kid movies. And we're also going to be talking about Thundercats Roar, and we're going to really get Ray's opinion about Thundercats Roar. Stay tuned for that, and then we'll come back and kind of end the show. So here we go.
Speaking of nostalgia, this one was something that really took me by surprise when it first came out on YouTube. And oh my gosh, boy, did this show hit a nerve. Okay. Now, what am I talking about exactly? Well, to all you karate fans, particularly Karate Kid fans, I'm talking about Cobra Kai.
Oh boy.
That's right.
You got Ray excited.
Yep, that's right. Now, if you could think of any...
I watched every episode.
Yeah, if you could think of any other show that truly is able to capture not just the nostalgia, but at the same token, take the characters in a more much later on down the road, and yet contemporize it in such a way to where everybody, from us old school guys and gals who saw the films way back when, namely the first two Karate Kid films, and, you know... And I think there was a cartoon, though I never got a chance to watch it.
I think they did do a cartoon.
Yeah, 1989 it came out.
Yeah, but those first two movies, you know, and I mean, never mind the fact that the main hero of those films, you know, his first name is the same as my first name, and kind of looks like me too. This show, Cobra Kai.
I've been told I look like Mr. Miyagi. So, yeah.
Well, you definitely have the wisdom going for you.
That's true. This is a true statement.
All you need, you can't tell the difference except for the goatee or lack thereof. I mean, that's it.
Yeah, if I had the goatee, it would be a shoo-in. I don't think I could walk around anywhere without saying, "Pat Morita, didn't you die already?"
Yeah, I know, right?
And I have your autograph. I mean, you know, it would be mind-boggling.
Yeah, but for those of you who haven't already seen it, and honestly, I don't know why anybody has not seen this show, even if only the first two episodes.
I haven't seen it.
Nope, it's okay, it's alright. Well, the first two episodes are free,
you know,
on YouTube.
What?
Josh, what you gotta do is get YouTube Red for free for 1 month.
Okay.
Watch the series and cancel it.
Oh,
there
cool.
You go.
Alright, there you go. That's a life hack,
you,
ladies and gentlemen.
It's worth it. What's shocking is that YouTube did it, YouTube released it.
I know, cause you
and
would, yeah, go
what
ahead.
I love about it is the story arc following Johnny. More than Danny.
Yeah.
And seeing this man who one moment in his life changed everything. And what happens after it. And you actually root for him for quite a while.
I mean, it sounds like a really cool... I mean, Karate Kid was really big when I was younger. A lot of kids really wanted to do karate and martial arts just because of that movie.
And of course, who can forget the now famous lines like "wax on, wax off,"
right,
you know,
right. And, which has been parodied in many movies.
Yep.
Since.
Yep.
But that's pretty cool. I'll definitely have to check that one out when it comes out when I see it. I'll let you guys know. So,
Go ahead.
My personal wish list is that they release this like they did with Stranger Things.
Oh, yeah.
A box set that looked like an old VCS box. I would flip for that. I would be like, that is awesome.
You're not alone.
It's that good. I mean, it just defied any expectation. Nobody thought this was going to be as good as it was. Mm-hmm. And it just hit such a home run. And so many people my age look at it and they reminisce, but there's such a great story on top of the reminiscing. Just like Danny said, I think it's an amazing show. So awesome. Definitely see it.
So anyways, let's talk about the elephant that's on the internet right now.
Yep.
And not elephant, actually cat person. Thundercats Roar. Oh boy, here we go. I really feel, this is my personal opinion and not anyone else's opinion, or reflects anyone else's opinion, this show is getting flack because it's doing the exact same thing that Teen Titans Go did to the original Teen Titans thing. Be it, you take a serious action show, you know, for the most part, serious action show, and then you make a silly, very silly, over-the-top silly cartoon show with the same characters, just their designs are very cartoony, very, very, almost like 60s-esque, like, School of Rock.
I'm gonna jump in. The style is actually called CalArts style.
I heard about that. Yep.
Yeah. It's because CalArts has been teaching that style for years. Ah. And that's just the tip of the iceberg, or the tip of the big loaded pile of cat poop litter pan.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm not negative. I'm not bitter. Okay.
I'll see, like, I don't, when I was a kid, I did watch it, but I don't remember much about it. So, like, to me, it was kind of like, okay. I know one of the biggest complaints is that they did a reboot of Thundercats back in, I believe, 2011 it was.
Yes, they did.
And that show was very much the same spirit of the original. The animation team was phenomenal. I've seen a few of the episodes. They were phenomenal. The voice cast was great.
The original Lion-O got to play Lion-O's dad this time around.
Yeah. There are conflicting problems with how this was canceled. One being it was canceled for the same reason that Young Justice was, because it wasn't selling toys. Another one being that Cartoon Network just didn't know what to do with it. Like, they tried to put it in the kids' slot, and it didn't work. They tried to put it in the Adult Swim lot, it didn't work. They just couldn't figure out what to do with it. And, that's another thing that's fueled the fire for this Thundercats backlash. Okay, Ray, we've got our bunkers ready. Go ahead.
Yep.
Okay. I'm going to make this short and sweet because I'm going to have to go soon.
Okay.
I.e., I'm married.
Okay.
So, you know, things have to be done before my wife. Anyway, this is what I'm going to say about it. I've really thought long and hard about this scenario. And it's very similar to everything else that's a reboot. Mm. It's not my version.
Mm.
Okay. It didn't ruin my childhood. It didn't, you know, alter what I've watched. I can still watch my show. That's not the problem I have with this. The problem I have is the lack of originality or any imagination, for that matter, from anybody making shows like this. Now, I know you're not a fan of Rick and Morty.
Okay.
But Rick and Morty, for all its faults, is an original concept. It has its story arc, and it's very well written. The same thing with another show that I like called Uncle Grandpa. Same idea. It has its own story, whatever it may be that week. Fantastic. When we have shows like this, it shows a lack of wanting to try anything new from the network. But more importantly in this scenario, because I don't think it's totally the network's fault at this point. And if you had watched the video of Monsignor Man Bun, because that's what I'm going to call him, because man buns suck. Let that negative emails flow, man.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. If you had, there was a video on Facebook right now that you can watch, the creator of this Thundercats Roar posted about. And there was one comment within his talking, until my ears were bleeding and I had to turn it off, was his brother watched the show and enjoyed it. He was much younger, and he didn't see it until he was a little older. And he sort of took bits and pieces he liked and made this. And I'm thinking to myself, self, if I was going to do something like this, would I call it Thundercats? No, I wouldn't. I would come up with my own original concept and do something else. By making Thundercats and openly admitting that you haven't really watched the show or enjoyed it in any way, shape, or form, but your brother did, but that's the reason for the inspiration of making this big pile of dog poo. Yeah, that's my problem with it. I don't care. It's not ruining my childhood. I'm not defending. Thundercats was not a perfect show. In fact, if anybody is familiar with Rankin Bass, during the mid and late 80s, they had several interpretations, if you will, of Thundercats. Silverhawks and Glowfish or whatever it was. There was a ton of them. So, you know, inspiration and imagination work both ways. So, I mean, the 80s were not perfect either. The problem is that a lot of it, i.e. Thundercats, was an original idea. It sold toys, obviously. But for somebody as young as this to walk in and say what he said, it's the same old art style. And I could see it in certain shows, like, you know, but not what he's doing. It just doesn't make sense. And to make Thundercats a flat-out comedy sort of thing, you know, it doesn't make sense. And I blame more so Cartoon Network, because with their track record as of late, with rebooting Powerpuff Girls and what's the other one that they've done recently?
Ben 10.
I can't remember now.
Ben 10.
But
Ben
they
10.
Literally haven't done an original idea in a very long time in a sea of original ideas that they had 10, 12 years ago. I mean, one of my favorite shows way back was Flapjack. I loved that show. I know a lot of people hated it. I thought it was great. I thought it was amazing. Great original stories, very funny. Loved the art style, kind of mixed a bunch of things together. You know, and then some of the stuff that came in from Canada, Total Drama Island, I was infatuated with the art style. Thought the story was amazing. It was very timely. Given reality shows as popular as they became at the time. But then you got this, and it's kind of like, you know, I say to myself, I'm glad that I don't pay for Cartoon Network because I would feel gypped, you know, and that's where I stand with it. I don't care about it. It's fine. You want to do it. It's not my, you know, it's not like I'm Rankin Bass and I'm, you know, rolling over my grave or whatever it is, you know. So yeah, that's my two cents.
Okay.
You know, a lot of people probably don't like my opinion, and that's fine. I don't personally don't think the show is going to be very good at all. I don't like Teen Titans Go. That's the other one I was thinking of. I don't like this lighthearted romp thing with properties that are not lighthearted. And I think that's the issue I have with all this.
Right.
Come up with some original ideas. What's that one on Disney Channel that you like, that the princess one?
Oh, Star versus the Beeble.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, there is an original idea, okay? Art style's great. Nothing wrong with it, you know? What's the other one you liked?
Gravity Falls?
Yes. You know, same idea. It has that kind of early 70s look to it, and yet has original, really deep and good ideas, and something you can watch and get something out of. And I just don't see how this property is going to get that. You know, it's more like brain candy because it's super cute and super colorful and probably real flashy, you know. I don't see the worth in it. But again, not my generation. I don't have to worry about it. See, I'm almost 52. I can watch my Thundercats or anything else I grew up with and know that it's a far superior product than what's going to be shown on Cartoon Network.
Right.
And yeah, is it polarizing? Absolutely. Absolutely. And people are, the whole "you ruined my childhood" thing is wearing pretty thin. Because we live in a society where if it's not a comic book thing or a Star Wars thing, it's a reboot of something everybody grew up with. Very rarely do we have any originality anymore. And my opinion's real simple. If you don't like it, you don't have to watch it.
Exactly.
You can change the channel. You know, there are so many other great things. Like, I rarely watch television. Most of the things I watch, like Cobra Kai, Stranger Things, a lot of the shows I watch, Westworld.
Even like, you know, shows
I'll,
like,
I'll watch.
Even shows like Danny likes, like Voltron, you know, that was good. I mean, yeah. they're even coming with a new She-Ra cartoon on Netflix.
Yeah, I saw that too. And I don't have a problem with it because somebody said, hey, I can take this and move it forward in a way they couldn't 30 years ago. Fantastic. You know, the problem I have with Thundercats Roar is the dumbing down. I mean, you literally could have made a bunch of cats, you know, living in a house or superheroes, and it would be the same context as what you're doing with Thundercats Roar. You know, you don't have to take a concept and just mangle it to the point where, you know, but again, it's really not my opinion. It doesn't matter what I think because I am not that demographic.
Right.
So for me, it means nothing. Am I saddened by it? Sure. You know, it's not going to like change my life or ruin my day or, you know, anything like that. I think, you know, again, this was a decision by Cartoon Network. You know, you got a young upstart kid with a man bun. Hey, he's cool. You know, he's hip. Let's get him in here. Fresh out of Cal Arts. Let's give him a chance, you know. Now, sadly, if Thundercats Roar doesn't, you know, make it, he may not have a career afterward. But, you know, because, again, there are so many people like him, you know. There are so many cartoonists and animators that if you do something that foul and you're with Cartoon Network or Disney or whoever else and it doesn't work, they're not going to give you another chance.
Right. Very true.
Yeah. Well, let's see what happens. Now, I agree though, because when I grew up with Cartoon Network, you know, Cartoon Network had a variety of cartoons, not just your silly cartoons, but they also had, you know, action cartoons like Batman the Animated Series, Batman Beyond, Superman, Justice League.
These fine gentlemen, it's me.
Yeah.
You know? Because I'm the old cynic.
Yeah.
You know? But that's my two cents on it.
Right.
You know, you can take it, you can leave it. I'm in a different place. I know what I like. Thundercats was not my all-time favorite cartoon. Was it cool? Absolutely. You know, I like that kind of early Japanese animation that was made for American audiences, and I loved the story. But it wasn't something I followed every week either.
Right.
Right.
But, you know, if the guy thinks, hey, I can make this, knock yourself out, you know? Mm-hmm. Do what you got to do, man. Got to pay the bills just like I do.
Yep.
So, that's what I have to say, Arcaders. I know everybody's floored. The boys are sitting there scratching their heads right now. They're going, what happened to our show?
We're just getting back.
This guy just took over.
We're just coming out from under our bunkers right now. So
yeah.
We thought it would be... Yeah. Yeah, we thought...
Checking to see if the dust settled.
We thought fire was going to come out of our the microphone.
I think the cat litter has settled.
Oh!
Like that, huh?
Yep.
Yeah. too soon. So that's my whole take on this thing.
Okay.
Take it or leave it. I'm good with it.
All right, we're back, everyone. So, all right. Thank you so much for listening, guys. If you'd like to continue to listen to us, please make sure you subscribe to us in whatever podcatcher you're listening to. So iTunes, Google Play, Spreaker, wherever you're listening to us, please make sure that you totally subscribe to us. If you're listening to us on YouTube, make sure you subscribe to the channel, like the video, maybe even share it with your friends, let everyone know that we exist.
Yes.
Don't forget, if you're listening to us on either of these things, you want to comment. If you're listening to us on Facebook, if you're listening to us on YouTube, feel free to comment in the comment section below. If you're listening to us on the website, thearcadearchives.com, again, that's thearcadearchives.com, you can also comment there as well. We are also on the internet. You can find us at facebook.com/arcade1981, and that's facebook.com/arcade1981. You can also find us on Instagram at The Arcade Archives Network. Again, that's The Arcade Archives Network. And on Twitter at Arcade A Network. Again, that's Arcade A Network. And then, of course, if you'd like to talk to us personally, you can find me on both Twitter and Instagram at ubernerd527. That's UBERNERD 527 both Twitter and Instagram. And don't forget, I also have a comic book that it's selling right now. So if you'd like to purchase that comic, The Blue Flame Legends, you can go to indieplanet.com. Again, that's indieplanet.com. And you can find the comic on there. It's a really good, you guys really check it out. The second printing just came out, has a brand new cover and everything. And I'm really hoping to see you guys soon. As the recording of this podcast, we're going to be having a Creator's Day at a local comic book store, Crumbs World. And very excited to hopefully see you guys out there. But yeah, that's me. Danny, where can they find you?
Well, you can find me on fanfiction.net under the pen name Ultrasonic. I write stories there. And, of course, you can find me on the actual website where, under the same pen name, where I contribute articles and so forth. And of course, you can find me on Twitter under the handle at UltraSNCPLYR9. Those are pretty much the ways to contact me. So if you like what I post, just follow me. That's how you can contact me.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys again so much for listening. Hope you guys enjoyed it. And Danny, why don't you take us out?
All right. So thank you for listening, everyone. And, of course, keep playing with power because there are no limits.
Good night, everyone.
Hey, Arcaders. It's Ray Gunn here, founder of the Arcade Archives Network. Thank you so much for listening to our Beyond the Start Button podcast. If you like this and you'd like to see or hear more, please head over to our website, thearcadearchives.com. We have reviews, articles, and webcomics dedicated to both nerd culture and nostalgia. If you like this podcast and you'd like to support it, there are several things you can do. If you're listening to us in your favorite podcatcher like iTunes, Google Play, or etc., please review us. Reviews help others find us and find our podcast. If you're listening on the site or you're listening to us on the Beyond the Start Button YouTube channel, please don't forget to like and comment below to interact with us. But regardless of why you're listening to us, please make sure to share this podcast with your friends on your favorite social media platforms. We work very hard every month to give you this great show. We want to share it with everyone out there. So thanks again for listening. And keep playing like it's 1981. I'll talk at you later. Bye now.
Attention! Attention! The rebellion has begun. Repeat, the rebellion has begun. This is a Rebellion production and is part of the Arcade Archives Network. That is all.